Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm bringing Hassel back. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and that music can only mean one thing. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins us now. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. We are now less than a month away from the NFL draft, and it is mock draft season a palooza. But I will ask you, I think it's kind of consensus, 1-2, however you want to justify it, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, or Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. I think that's kind of the popular thought across the football world. How would you rank the remaining three? Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker?
Yeah, that's a great question because, Caroline, it seems like everybody's just beating up, you know, the 1-2 discussion. And look, I get it. You know, it's kind of like you talk about first place, you don't talk about like the other spots in the race. But as we know, like we just look around at draft every year, just, you know, the guy that gets picked first doesn't mean that he necessarily ends up having the best career. So here's how I feel about it. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, what your need is and when you expect that quarterback to play. And so, like, to me, Anthony Richardson, I would rank him last if I was a team that wanted somebody to play within the first year. Like, Anthony Richardson's got 13 career starts. He has unbelievable physical ability, but he's played very little football. And I just think it's hard to be good at playing the toughest position in sports at the highest level when you don't have a lot of reps under your belt doing it. And that is the case with Richardson. So I would rank him last out of the three. You know, and I would probably put Levis as the first guy in that group. Not to say he's a perfect prospect, but he's got nearly 40 starts. He has all the physical tools. He has a lot of characteristics that your team would rally around in terms of toughness and competitiveness and all of that. So, this past season wasn't great, but the season prior was outstanding. And then, you know, you get to Hendon Hooker, who I would, you know, prefer over Richardson. And quite honestly, there are things I like about Hendon, you know, more than things I like about, you know, Levis. You know, there just is a bit of a, you know, some of the pause and some of the things you have to kind of figure out is, all right, there's clear improvement, you know, from Virginia Tech to Tennessee. You know, how much of that was just supporting cast related? How much of that was coaching staff and offensive related? And how much of that was true development by Hendon as a passer? So I think once you kind of navigate through those things, you know, I would end up kind of ranking them Levis, Hooker, and then Anthony Richardson.
And that's a question that I've asked myself so many times about Hendon Hooker. Was the magic of Tennessee's season this past year, was it Josh Heupel's offense? Was it Hendon Hooker just needing an opportunity and needing time to fit into that offense? Or is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, and listen, maybe I can shed a tiny bit of light onto that, having called some Virginia Tech games with Hendon Hooker as the starting quarterback. And the reality of the situation there at Virginia Tech was he was kind of always fighting for his job. Like, it was never really clear that it was, like, it was just going to be his. There was a kid, I forget his name, I think it was Quincy Patterson was his name. He was in there getting reps at times. Braxton Burmeister, I think at one point, had transferred in. And, you know, I think we were told, like, he deserved snaps. And, you know, it was interesting because there were points where Hendon would play really good football for Virginia Tech. And, you know, whether it was injury or otherwise, it just – it never really felt like he had a home there, like that it was his team or territory. And that all changed when he got to Tennessee. And so, listen, Caroline, some of it might just be you feel like you're the guy, and that kind of enables you to kind of assert yourself as a leader and have confidence in how you're playing.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, beside the four quarterbacks and possibly five if you throw in Hendon Hooker, so you got Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and Hendon Hooker, is there another quarterback, you know, that you would put up there within the first two rounds, whether it's Max Duggan, the kid out of UCLA, I can't remember his name, dual threat quarterback. But there are other quarterbacks that are out there beside the top four or five. Is there one that could potentially, you know, slip into possibly late first round or in the second round?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a guy who's not going to go in the first round, but I think he's going to go way higher than anybody is anticipating. And his name is Stetson Bennett.
I talked about Stetson Bennett before on these airwaves. And as much as we look at his age and everything else, he had a really good combine. And the kid is just a winner. And he's an overachiever. And why wouldn't you want a guy like that on your team?
Listen, I people are becoming less and less enamored with less and less enamored with, you know, with physical traits that are measured and all of that. And, like, you know, you mentioned, Max Duggan. Like, look, he was a really good, competitive, scrappy player. But, like, do we really care that he's, you know, 6'2 instead of 5'10? Like, does that matter that much? Like, I don't know that it matters that much. I think Stetson Bennett, let me be clear on this, because, you know, D-May, she asked about, like, hey, you know, first round, maybe early second or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we're talking that. But, like, if you were to look at projections on Stetson Bennett, I think what you would get is people say, like, look, he's rounds 5 through 7, maybe a free agent. But you know what? Because of the program, because of how he played, like, yeah, fifth round or something like that. I just think it could be it would happen sooner than that. I think that there's just – and then again, like, look, I said it earlier talking about Levis and Richardson. He's played a lot of football, and he's played a lot of football in big games, and that matters. Look, I think there's a reason Brock Purdy was having success. Like, he's learned how to play the position. He had, like, 45 college starts. Like, there are very few things in life that you can just, like, not do and then go out and be good at doing. And I think it's universally accepted that playing quarterback in the NFL is about as hard of a thing to do in professional sports as you can find. It's like, I don't know how you get good at it by not doing it. It's one of my issues with, like, Trey Lance. Everyone thinks, like, Trey Lance is going to be the guy. I looked it up the other day. Like, since graduating high school, Brock Purdy, you know, has, like, started, like, 75 football games, and Trey Lance has started, like 7. I'm making those numbers up. They're not exact. But, like, it's something like that. That's a problem, I think, if you want to try to improve at something.
Now, is there a in regards to the draft, do you believe there will be within that first top 5 or 6 picks, do you think there will be a surprise trade that may, you know, either push one of these quarterbacks up further or push them down a little bit?
I think the trades are would push quarterbacks up.
Okay.
Because I look at, let's just say we kind of all agree that Carolina and Houston want to go quarterbacks. And Arizona's not drafting a quarterback. But you get to Indianapolis, like, they need a quarterback. So they probably are drafting one. Now, maybe they don't, but I would think that they do. The Seattle Seahawks, look, maybe they, you know, it's all fake, but Seattle could draft a quarterback. I don't think that Detroit will, but it's possible. The Raiders, I get it. They just signed Jimmy Garoppolo, but Garoppolo is always hurt, and he's whatever he is, about 32 years old, and he's always hurt. So they could draft one. So I just think that, you know, you kind of get in, and we get to Atlanta. Like, so I just think that if you're a team that feels like you would draft a quarterback in the top 10, you feel strongly about Levis or Richardson, you feel strongly about one of those guys, I just feel like you may move to make sure that you can go get them. Because I just would have a feeling that Indy, Seattle, Raiders, like those teams would have interest in quarterbacks.
More from Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, coming up next. It's Caroline Billy DeMais, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now. Tim, I feel like it's every single week we've got to keep you updated on the Lamar Jackson situation. But since he took to Twitter yesterday, said he requested a trade on March 2nd, I mean, this crazy and wild Lamar Jackson versus Baltimore Ravens sweepstake just got even more bizarre. Do you think that it's a legitimate possibility that the Ravens would trade Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think what's interesting about it is, like, he didn't need to request a trade because he essentially was available, you know, in a way which would amount to a trade, which is sign a contract with a new team. The Ravens don't want to match it. They essentially are trading him for two first-round picks, right? Like, that's how the non-exclusive franchise tag work. So the fact that, like, he was requesting a trade, like, I almost feel like it made me get the sense that, like, he doesn't even understand, like, the situation that he's in. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. Why would you request a trade? You don't have to request a trade. Like, you are available to everyone. Like, to everyone. So the fact that you're requesting a trade, I almost want to be like, hey, like, it's, I feel like it's one of those ones, like, hey, who wants to tell him? Like, who wants to tell him, like, you don't need to do that.
If someone, like, wants you, they'll take you.
You're available. Yeah. So, like, I said this on TV, I guess it would have been last week, and I, you know, like, it's part of me where it's like, I feel bad saying it because I want, like, I love to see players go, you know, have success and get paid, and I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. Lamar Jackson is a bad businessman. Just like Le'Veon Bell, when he sat out for an entire year, was a bad businessman. It cost him money that he will never, ever get back. And, you know, Lamar Jackson's refusal to hire an agent and be in a situation which I think takes, you know, some skill and some expertise of which he, you know, doesn't have, it's costing him money. I mean, the reality of it is that, let's just say he doesn't play on this franchise tag, which it sounds like it's maybe a possibility. For perspective, once Josh Allen signed his extension, which he could sign the same time that Lamar Jackson was able to sign an extension, Josh Allen will make nearly $70 million more than Lamar Jackson, like, through that 3-year period. Like, I'm not making this up. Like he signed an extension the same time that Lamar was eligible to sign an extension.
Right.
And by the way, here's what's going to happen. Josh continues to play well. he's going to sign another extension, while Lamar, let's just assume Lamar signs like a long-term deal, like either this year or next year, like Josh is going to become a free agent and get another crack at it while Lamar is still under that next contract. So, like, it's just been bad business, guys. It's just been really bad business, and it has cost him tens of millions of dollars.
And Josh Allen has paid his agent, what, like $2 or $3 million over
yeah,
that span?
Yeah, and guess what? And Derek can tell you, like, here's the thing. If you don't have an agent and you're about to sign a huge contract, the standard fee is 3%. If you are about to sign a huge contract, you could go to nearly any agent that is qualified and done massive deals in the NFL and say, look, I will sign with you, and I will either pay you 1% or we'll decide on a flat fee. And nearly every one of those agents will take you as a client, because as soon as you sign a deal that gives you the most guaranteed money in NFL history or second most in NFL history or something like that, they're going to use that deal to recruit every player that they are trying to sign, whether it's a college player or a current NFL player that's looking for a new deal. So, like, this idea that he would have to pay somebody 3%, that's not even accurate. He wouldn't have to.
You know what, Tim? I brought up this same thing yesterday, and I brought up the Le'Veon Bell example. I even brought up the NBA guy example, and I keep forgetting his name, where the Lakers wanted to sign him to a 3-year, 80-something million dollars. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to sign that because he wanted more, and he never got close to that contract that was offered to him. And NBA money is guaranteed. He was never able to get a contract that of that magnitude again. Le'Veon Bell missed a season, was never able to recoup that money again. And I told Caroline and Willie yesterday, I'm saying, listen, if we are to believe what Lamar said or has been saying, or that there is a deal, you know, say, I think it was 130, 135, somewhere over 3 years guaranteed. If we are to believe that that deal is on the table, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm going to an agent just like you said, and I'm saying, listen, right now, with the Baltimore Ravens, I have 130. Anything over 130, you get me, you get a piece of that. Because I negotiate, because that 130 is there. I can get it or I can't. But if you get me more than, if you get me over that, anything you get over that, then you get the 2, 3, 1%, whatever it is, you are able to get it. And like you said, these agents are going to be willing to take him on as a client because it's a recruiting tool for them. Look at what we got Lamar Jackson. Even though they probably didn't work out the whole contract, they can say, we got Lamar Jackson, $200-something million.
Look, and there's an element, you know, where it's like, look, I get, no one likes paying an agent. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never met a guy who's like, man, I love writing that check at the end of the year. Like no one likes paying an agent. Like, I just, I would say, like, I've talked to guys that have been literally, their job with teams have been, they negotiated contracts, okay? So whether they were in the GM role or a salary cap guy, who are now in the media, they hired agents to negotiate for them when they signed deals with ESPN or somebody else. It's just one of those things where it's like, look, you're good at doing this. I'm hiring you to do it. It's kind of like, it's the cost of doing business. Now, look, I actually believe that if Lamar had an agent, I don't think that the Ravens would have had the confidence to put the non-exclusive tag on him. Because I think that an agent, a good one, would have been able to kind of drum up enough uncertainty of, you know what, is there another team out there that we would have to worry about matching the offer? I don't have any doubt that a good agent would have created enough doubt for a team that they would have put the exclusive tag on him. Which, by the way, if he would have ended up playing on that, is $10 million more than the tag that he's currently scheduled to play on. So, like, I've argued at times and D-Mace, you probably remember this from your time as a working the Players Association. Like it always kind of bothered me that like a guy would sign a restricted rights free agent tender, you know, for $800,000. So that was a contract that was, and those terms were negotiated by the union and agreed upon with the league. And if a player signed it and had an agent, that agent would get 3%, you know, in some cases. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is crazy. Like, why would an agent get 3% of that?
Yeah, like, you're getting that contract no matter what.
You're getting that contract no matter what. Look, I was in that spot. Like, I lived that. And so, like that type of stuff bothered me. Look, I'm not some crazy, like, hey, pro agent and, like some like that. But here's the deal. Like, at some point, you just have to look at somebody and be like, man, like, you've made a lot of money. You've made $32 million playing football over the last 5 years. You are costing yourself so much money in this window. And, like, I don't know if you realize it. I don't know if you're getting bad advice. I don't know. But, like, that's just what's happening here. And in some cases, I just feel bad for him.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, and I hear you. I think in the same way that so many NFL franchises or GMs were kind of turned off from Aaron Rodgers just because of the baggage that Aaron Rodgers comes with, do you think that there may be a similar sentiment from GMs that they just don't want to get into bed with Lamar Jackson if they know that it's going to come with negotiations with himself, if it's going to come with his business partner picking up the phone and trying to persuade other teams to put an offer on the table for Lamar Jackson? Do you think that some GMs are turned off by the fact that he doesn't have an agent and that all of these negotiations have fallen out how they have?
Yeah, I mean, look, my guess on some of that stuff is, like, if it's just kind of obtuse and not realistic, it's like, I don't know how we keep going from here. And, like, you bring up Aaron Rodgers. Like, listen, you know, Aaron Rodgers, it's a short-term thing, you know, with him in terms of where he's in his career and stuff like that. But his agent, and David Dunn, who does his football stuff, like David Dunn, has done deals for years in the NFL. And David Dunn represents coaches, players. And so I like the idea that, you know, if you're like, hey, if you're the Jets or you were the Raiders or the 49ers, whoever, the last few years, and you're wondering like, hey, can we get Aaron Rodgers? It's like, oh, well, you know what? Like, he's represented by Athletes First and David Dunn, and we have – five guys on our team that we've done contracts with those guys and worked with the agents at Athletes First. And so let's pick up the phone and be like, hey, what do you think it's going to cost? Like, where, like, you get that information, right? So yeah, I think it matters. It's like, look, there's a reason you hire deal makers. Like, it's just, that's why you do it. And that's why they do deals.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, appreciate you for joining us as always. We'll chat with you next week.
See you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Tim. Coming up next, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and there is even, if it could even be possible, that it's more interesting than it was. It may have just gotten a little bit more interesting. We'll explain why coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025 1063, The Game.
Because I love direct communication. If they had just said, listen, we think it's time to move in a different direction, and we love you, and you're going to be a Packer Hall of Famer. You're going to go in the Hall as a Packer. We're going to, you know, retire your number, whatever it might be, you know, but it's time to move on. I would have said, man, thank you so much just for telling me that. Like, I really, really appreciate that. That means the world to me that you would tell me that.
That was Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show. And that hour long appearance that Aaron Rodgers had on the Pat McAfee Show, like, put it in the Smithsonian. It was truly a gift that Aaron Rodgers gave to all of us. Just perfect. But go ahead.
No. But Aaron, I want to hear what you got to say.
But Aaron Rodgers says, you know, I would have appreciated direct communication, which is absolutely hilarious that Aaron Rodgers says that after he sends out cryptic message after cryptic message. But that to me, I mean, Aaron Rodgers saying that to me says that the Green Bay Packers weren't communicating directly with Aaron Rodgers. Sure, fine, Aaron. I will entertain what you have to say about the Green Bay Packers organization. But Brian Gutekunst Packers general manager, met with the media, I believe this was yesterday morning or yesterday afternoon, to talk about what happened with Aaron Rodgers and why it is more likely than not that Aaron Rodgers will not be the starting quarterback in Green Bay this season. This was Brian Gutekunst.
I think obviously it was a disappointing season, right? And you come out of the season, you have a lot of conversations, not only with Aaron, but with the rest of the team, coaches, and everybody. And as you go through that process, you kind of get an idea of where you're going to move to, you know, as a team, how you're going to go forward. And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So, there came a time where we had to make some, decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to kind of talk to him where we were going with our team. And at that point, they informed us they would like to be traded to the Jets.
You did try and reach out to have those conversations.
Oh, yeah, many times.
Why did those conversations not transpire?
I'm not putting it on anybody, but they just never did transpire. A lot of attempts and went through that. But at the same time, we're always looking out for what's best for the Green Bay Packers. And as time went on, we kind of had to move.
Aaron Rodgers didn't even call the Packers back. Aaron Rodgers saying, oh, I would have appreciated the conversation. I would have appreciated clear communication. I would have appreciated if they just would have come forward and said, we're moving on without you. Thanks for everything you did. He didn't even call him back. They had to wait until the agents had to say, hey, look, yeah, no, we are going to New York. We don't want to be in Green Bay anymore. He didn't even call them back. Let me just say this. I am so glad the Tennessee Titans are not involved with anything with Aaron Rodgers. Even though throughout the offseason it would have been so much fun to talk about Aaron Rodgers being the Titans quarterback, even though the Titans' odds for the Super Bowl would have absolutely skyrocketed, even though everything would have been a whole lot more interesting. And I think that the Titans would probably win a whole lot more games with Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback than Ryan Tannehill moving forward. I don't think that's any sort of hot take. But I am so glad that the Titans don't have to deal with all of the Aaron Rodgers circus of not calling back and going on podcasts and calling out the general manager, calling out the franchise. It's just absolute, bleep show after bleep show after bleep show with Aaron Rodgers. And I pity the New York Jets, and I am so glad for all of Green Bay Packers fans that they are free of his buffoonery.
It's not like Mr. T. I pity the fool.
I pity the fool. I pity the Jets.
Oh, man. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you got to love him, though. You have to. Because a part of me, as he's saying it, a part of me believes him.
That's what I thought. I almost felt bad for Aaron Rodgers for like a millisecond that I was like, I mean, come on, Brian Gutekunst, you couldn't at least tell Aaron Rodgers that you didn't want him.
Exactly. A part of me was like, okay, wow, they didn't call Aaron Rodgers? Like, seriously? Like, wow. But then Aaron says, At least you could have came to me and said, listen, you're going to be at a Packer Hall of Fame. You're going to go in the Hall of Fame as a Packer. I'm like, wow, he's sure full of himself, aren't he? Isn't he?
Jumping ahead of ourselves, aren't we?
Wow, even though, yes, he will be a Hall of Famer, yes. But it's just how he framed the whole thing. He didn't just say, hey, you've been great for us. You won a Super Bowl for us. Great player, but we're moving in another direction. No, he said, no, you're going to be a Packer Hall of Famer. You're going to be a Hall of Famer, and you're going to, don the green jacket and the gold jacket, all this stuff. But this is what happens when you sort of give the keys over, hand the keys over to the player. Regardless of who it is, when you hand the keys over to them and this is your franchise, we're locked in with you for the next X amount of years. There's nothing, there's no movement clause, no nothing. Basically, you have the power. This is what happens. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to take a phone call, he won't take a phone call. If Aaron Rodgers is supposed to call you and he doesn't call you, he doesn't care, because he has all of the leverage in this situation. If you keep him, you still got to pay him. If you trade him away, he's still getting his money. And he doesn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. Either way, Aaron is getting his money. So it's like, okay, Either you keep me, which I know you really don't want to, or trade me to the Jets, one or two. But I'm cool. I'm just going to sit back and wait. So I don't have to take phone calls. I don't have to do that. So to me, I think it all goes back to them drafting Jordan Love and whether they had conversations with Aaron Rodgers prior to drafting Jordan Love or not. We don't know. And I think Aaron is he's a lot upset about that. Still, he's still holding on to, he's holding that grudge. And he's not going to make it easy for the Green Bay Packers in this situation, even though he know he wants to be in New York with the Jets. The Jets have made all these concessions, going out and getting receivers and getting coordinators and trying to make this you know, transition as seamless as possible for who? Aaron Rodgers. No other quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron knows that. So he's like, listen, you know, I don't know why the Green Bay Packers aren't making this deal right now. You know, I don't know why they didn't tell me that they didn't want me to be their quarterback. Well, Aaron, they had been trying to tell you. They've been calling you.
Because he didn't call them back.
Exactly. They had been calling you regardless of where you were. They knew when you went to your retreat, they knew they couldn't call you. So let's take that off the table. But anytime before and after, well, before, they are telling us that they've called you plenty of times. They called your representative trying to get in touch with you, and they got crickets. And then you're on the other end saying, oh, man, they should have just called me. I mean, come on, man, please just call me and tell me you don't want me. Well, we tried to call you. What are you talking about, Aaron? What world are you living in? Like, you're living in this alternate world where, you know, you're not getting the phone calls, but we're making the calls to you through your representative or directly to you. But for some reason, you're not getting them. So,
and that's what I get for having just the teeniest, tiniest, ittiest, bittiest sliver of sympathy for Aaron Rodgers when I heard that.
I almost believed him, too. I'm like, man.
I almost did, too. He almost got me. And then I hear the Packers GM saying, oh, no, yeah, we tried on several occasions mm-hmm. to pick up the phone and have a conversation with him, which I agree wholeheartedly with mm-hmm. because why would the Packers not try several times to have a conversation with Aaron Rodgers, because they're on the hook for $100 million with him. Mm-hmm. He is their franchise quarterback. Even given all of the stuff that he has put that Packers organization through, I'm sure if Aaron Rodgers came forward and said, no, I want to be a Packer in 2023, mm-hmm. they would have made it happen. I mean, that's the best thing for this franchise.
Exactly.
So I believe Brian Gutekunst when he said, it's your starting quarterback. Of course you're going to pick up the phone and ask what his future plans are. Can we talk about this? Can we talk about what your future is with us or without us? But let's just have the conversation. And to Tim's point, Tim Hasselbeck, who we just had on, ESPN NFL analyst, he said the difference with Aaron Rodgers than maybe Lamar Jackson is, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, you're really only getting a year or two mm-hmm. out of Aaron Rodgers. His career is not very long mm-hmm. in the future. You maybe have a year or two with Aaron Rodgers. Even with a year or two of Aaron Rodgers, I don't think Mike Vrabel or Rand Carthon or this entire Titans organization would have had the patience or wherewithal to put up with that. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the Jets or the Packers or whatever organization has had to deal with Aaron Rodgers not picking up the phone, Aaron Rodgers going on his darkness retreat and making this process much longer than it needs to be. I don't think anyone in this Titans organization would have the patience to deal with it. I don't care if you're a former MVP or not.
Yeah, it just came to me. It was one of those light bulb moments, like, bing. It just came to me. Aaron is telling the truth. He is, from this standpoint. I think he's referring to when they drafted Jordan Love. He didn't get a phone call. He didn't get anything saying, hey, we're looking to go in another direction. You've been great for us. But we got our guy. We got our quarterback of the future, who we believe is our franchise quarterback. Now we need to make, you know, something happen to get you to another team, the team of your choosing. I think Aaron, like I said, I think he's still hurt by what they did by drafting Jordan Love. He's still hurt. And when he says, I believe when he says they didn't call me, he's referring to when they drafted Jordan Love. He's not referring to now because there's enough. They talk. He even said they had a long talk, you know, right after the season, you know, for hours, and then he had to go back the next day. And remember, we were like, why do he need to go back again? Yeah. Didn't they just have this long talk? Exactly. How much do you have to talk? I don't think he's talking about right now. In his mind, he's referring back to when they drafted Jordan Love. He didn't get the phone call. He didn't get, hey, we're going to draft. And you know who else went through that? Brett Favre. They didn't call Brett Favre saying, hey, we're drafting your heir apparent. We're drafting the guy that's going to succeed you. We're drafting the future. They didn't tell Brett Favre that, and they didn't tell Aaron Rodgers that neither. That's why I believe Aaron Rodgers is upset. He's referring to that, not necessarily what's happening now. I think he's referring back to when they drafted Jordan Love. Like, y'all didn't call me. Y'all didn't tell me y'all wanted to go in another direction.
You could be on to something.
So,
because I do think that probably every other quarterback or player in the league mm-hmm. would look at that and say, okay, you know what? I'll prove to you. I will prove it to you that I deserve my job. You want to draft my position of the future? Fine. I'll prove to you that I deserve it. Aaron Rodgers has won 2 MVPs since then. I think anyone would look at that and say, okay, I proved myself. I proved you wrong. Aaron Rodgers doesn't think that way. He has to hold on to that grudge. He still feels like this organization did him wrong. Even though they've paid him all the money, mm-hmm. they've given him the contract, they've basically bent the knee to him every year for the last 3 years, ever since he was upset that they drafted Jordan Love and didn't draft a whole bunch of weapons in Green Bay. He's the kind of guy that holds on to that grudge and won't get over it, even though he's won 2 MVPs exactly. since then. He is a piece of work for sure. We'll get into your thoughts on that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And hey, join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun doing it. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. Sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025 The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is from Hot Works in Goodlettsville. Open 24-7 in their infrared virtually LED sauna. LED sauna, I think, is what it should be pronounced as. Choose from a hot cycle, hot blast, hot thunder, hot yoga, hot bar, none, and more. Right now, join for just $39 in time for their grand opening April 1st. That is $60 off at thegamenashville.com/deals. Get more workout and less time at Hot Works. D-Mace, unless you have a thought?
Let's go to the phone.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, Justin in Greenbrier, Texan, says, as good as Aaron Rodgers has been, he isn't worth the circus. You don't see the other great quarterbacks acting like he has, at least not as publicly as he has been. Just so thankful the Titans didn't get into the melee. I will say this. If the Titans did go out and get Aaron Rodgers, I don't think people would be saying this. I think people would be saying, oh my gosh, the Titans got Aaron Rodgers. Woo! We're winning the Super Bowl, baby. But I agree with the sentiment of it's not worth it. The money and the short period of time that you would have with Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. it almost seems like more trouble than it's worth.
I think that if the money wasn't so great, you know, I think they would. And if this team was more put together the way they want it from a personnel standpoint without all the holes in it, I think if it was put together. Let's just say, okay, if this was 2 or 3 years ago and Aaron Rodgers, if they had the roster that they had 2 or 3 years ago now and the money's wasn't so great that he was old, like guaranteed. I think the Titans may look at Aaron, not to say that they would sign him, but I think they would be interested to see what it would take to bring him here, because in their minds they would see, okay, we got the roster, the window's open, we got the personnel, only thing we're missing in this that bona fide quarterback. If we can make a deal or put together a deal to get an Aaron Rodgers, I think they would really seriously hard think about that, because at the end of the day, what is it about? Winning a championship. And I can put up with you for a year, 2 years, 3 years if we get a Super Bowl out of this. I can put up with you. Because after we win the Super Bowl, now it's just like, okay, let's part ways, you know, wash our hands. And some other team may want him, you know, because now he's won a Super Bowl at another place. Now another team may not get what you had to give up, but you may get something back.
It's like the same situation with Tom Brady.
Exactly.
You go all in, you get the quarterback, you win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Great. I think Tampa Bay fans now can sleep at night knowing that they might have Kyle Trask as their starting quarterback this upcoming season, because they have that Super Bowl to keep them warm at night. And it would be the same thing if Tom Brady decided to not retire and did go somewhere other than Tampa Bay. You wouldn't be getting, you know, 2014-15 Tom Brady in New England. You'd be getting 45-46-year-old Tom Brady who doesn't have a whole lot left in the tank. Mm-hmm. But you'd still take Tom Brady.
Exactly.
And also going back 2 or 3 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember 2 or 3 years ago the way we talk about Aaron Rodgers now kind of being just the clown show and the ayahuasca and the whining and complaining. I don't remember that being as much of a thing then as it is now.
I don't think it – I think he was who he is then. He's always been that type of guy. But the situation was different. You know, he didn't have to, you know, that sort of whiny, you know, pointing at everybody else, that Aaron didn't have to come out, you know?
Right.
Now it's coming out.
Now he's jaded because the Packers drafted Jordan Love.
It's always been there, but now it has a avenue to come out and display itself. So it's always been there. We just didn't – there was no need for that Aaron to come out.
Fair. Gene in Spring Hill texts in and says, it's been in my mind all along. Why would Aaron Rodgers consider coming to the Titans? There are no even decent receivers to throw to. The offensive line is terrible, so he'd be running for his life. This isn't going to be the same offensive line that it was last year.
No.
I know that everyone has a little bit of PTSD from Dennis Daly and LaRaven Clark and Dylan Raidens being your starting offensive line this past year. They're addressing it in the offseason. They haven't yet, but they will address receivers. Aaron Rodgers already gave the Jets a wish list. I think the Titans would be willing to bring in an Alan Lazard or an Odell Beckham Jr. or a Randall Cobb, whoever it might be, to bring in with Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to bring in Aaron Rodgers and have LaRaven Clark starting at left tackle and have Treylon Burks be your only legitimate pass-catching weapon. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. They're not going to do that if Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback. They're not going to do that if I'm the quarterback. They're going to bolster up both of those pieces. They just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, they've slowly addressed the offensive line at the beginning of free agency. They went out and got a few pieces, and they hope that the pieces that they have already that are remaining develop even more from last year to this year. They're hoping for that development. So you're right. I mean, yes, the offensive line was bad last year, but this is going to be – this offensive line at least is going to be 70% different, you know, maybe – 100% different depending on what they're going to do at center and at right tackle. But, you know, you can't look at this team based upon last year now. It's over with. You see that the moves they're trying to make or the move they're making, they're trying to get better at offensive line starting first. They understand that if we're going to have a team, we need to build this offensive line. So look at what they're doing now, the people that they went and got now. And they're trying, they evaluated these guys, and they're trying to make this offensive line better. We don't know how good this offensive line will be until we get into the season. Receivers, same thing. They have two legitimate pass catchers, Treylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo. I know Chig's a tight end, but he's a pass catcher. They have two legitimate pass catchers. They got a guy that's really a four, can play a three, in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. So he can catch the ball, people. But you're right, also, caller, they need to add more. And they will.
They will.
Via the draft, and they will come June, you know, after the draft, June, July, August. They can always add receivers, then they will, to help out their quarterback in that run game. So be a little patient with them. Right now, the way this team looks, because we don't know, it's like, okay, this team is probably not in a position to make it to the Super Bowl, to get in the playoffs. But that's based on what we're looking at, because these guys that they have gotten on the offensive line have not been day one starters or week in, week out starters. They play, but they hadn't been starters. Let's wait till we start to get in camp and then in preseason and see where these guys are at.
And that's what I want to remind a lot of Titans fans of. Mm-hmm. It's March.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles got A.J. Brown, pretty much seemed like the missing piece to that between them and a Super Bowl, in April. Mm-hmm. The Titans brought in Julio Jones, which I know Julio Jones didn't work out in Tennessee, but it was still another piece that they added this team in June. Mm-hmm. There is a whole lot of time left. You still have the draft. The Titans have six players that are going to be part of their team moving forward, at least ideally, that aren't on this team yet that they're going to pick in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are going to change. A lot of things are going to happen. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.